And Hari. Gopi jana bhala bha giri vridhari. When I put it here, it just starts to swing that way. So fix this, so it doesn't swing.
Gopi jana bhala bha giri vridhari.
Beautiful. There it goes.
Yasoda nandana braja jana randana. Yasoda nandana braja jana randana. Yamuna tira vana chari. Yamuna tira vana chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi jana bhala bha giri vridhari. Gopi jana bhala bha giri vridhari. Jasoda nandana braja jana ranjana. Jasoda nandana braja jana ranjana. Jamuna tiravana chari. Yamuna tiravana chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Jaya Radha Madhava
Jai Om Shripad Paramahamsa Hari Vidakacharya. Sri Madhyas Divine Grace Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavarinda Ki Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Samvira Bhaktivedanta Ki Nithai Gaur Pimanandi. So later, after class. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Somebody open the window so we get some air. Text 13 from Canto 7, Chapter 3. Tavasanam divijagavam paramestyam jagatpate bhavaya shayase bhutyai Kshemaya Vijayaya Cha Tavasanam Dvija Gavam Parameshyam Jagatpate Bhavaya Shayase Bhutyai Kshemaya Vijayaya Cha. Tavasanam dvija gavam Parameshyam jagatpate Bhavaya shayase bhutya Jaya Vijayaya Cha Tavasanam Dvija Gavam Parameshyam Jagat Pate Bhavaya Shreyase Bhutyai Kshemaya Vijayaya Cha. Ladies. Tavasanam Dvija Gavam Parameshyam Jagatpate Jimaya Vijayaya Cha Tavasanam Dvija Gavam Parameshyam Jagatpate Bhavaya Shayase Bhutyai Kshemaya Vijayaya Cha Tavasanam Dvija Gavam Parameshyam Jagatpate Bhavaya Shayase Bhutyai Kshemaya Vijayaya Cha Tava, your asanam, position on the throne, dvija, of the Brahminical culture, or the Brahmanas, gavam, of the cows, parameshtyam, supreme, jagat pate, oh, master of the whole universe, Bhavaya, for improvement. Shayase, for the ultimate happiness. Bhutyai, for increasing the opulence. Kshemaya, for the maintenance and good fortune. Vijayaya, for the victory and increasing prestige. Cha, and. Translation. Oh, Lord Brahma, your position within this universe is certainly most auspicious for everyone, especially for cows and brahmanas, Brahminical culture, and protection of cows can be increasingly glorified, and thus all kinds of material happiness, opulence, and good fortune will automatically increase. But unfortunately, if Hiranyakashipu occupies your seat, everything will be lost. Demigod speaking to Lord Brahma. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In this verse, the words Vijagavam Parameshyam indicate the most exalted position of the Brahmanas, Brahminical culture, and the cows. In Vedic culture, the welfare of the cows and the welfare of the Brahmanas are essential. Without a proper arrangement for developing Brahminical culture, and protecting cows, all the affairs of administration will go to hell. Being afraid that Hiranyakashipu would occupy the post of Brahma, all the demigods were extremely disturbed. Hiranyakashipu was a well-known demon, and the demigods knew that if demons and rakshasas were to occupy the supreme post, Brahminical culture and protection of cows would come to an end. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 5:29, the original proprietor of everything is Lord Krishna, Bhoktaram Yagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. The Lord, therefore, knows particularly well how to develop the material condition of the living entities within this material world. In every universe, there is one Brahma engaged on behalf of Lord Krishna, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, Tene Brahma Hrida Hridaya Adikavaye. The principal creator in each Brahmanda is Lord Brahma, who imparts Vedic knowledge to his disciples and sons. On every planet, the king or supreme controller must be a representative of Brahma. Therefore, if a rakshasa or demon were situated in Brahma's post, then the entire arrangement of the universe, especially the protection of Brahminical culture and cows, would be ruined. All the demigods anticipated this danger, and therefore they went to request Lord Brahma to take immediate steps to thwart Hiranyakashipu's plan. Paragraph. In the beginning of creation, Lord Brahma was attacked by two demons, Madhu and Kaitaba, but Krishna saved him. Therefore, Krishna is addressed as Madhu Kaitaba Hatri. Now again, Hiranyakashipu was trying to replace Brahma. The material world is so situated that even the position of Lord Brahma, not to speak of ordinary living entities, is sometimes in danger. Nonetheless, until the time of Hiranyakashipu, no one had tried to replace Lord Brahma. Hiranyakashipu, however, was such a great demon that he maintained this ambition. And final paragraph. The word bhutyai in the verse, bhutyai, means, quote, for increasing opulence. And the word shayase refers to ultimately returning home back to Godhead. In spiritual advancement, one's material position improves at the same time that the path of liberation becomes clear. And one is freed from material bondage. If one is situated in an opulent position in spiritual advancement, his opulence never decreases. Therefore, such a spiritual benediction is called bhuti or vibhuti. Krishna confirms this in Bhagavad Gita 10:41. Yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam mama te jongsha sambhavan. If a devotee advances in spiritual consciousness and thus becomes materially opulent also, his position is a special gift from the Lord. Such opulence is never to be considered material. At the present, on this earth planet, the influence of Lord Brahma has decreased considerably, and the representatives of Hiranyakashipu, the rakshasas and demons, have taken charge. Therefore, there's no protection of Brahminical culture in cows, which are the basic prerequisites for all kinds of good fortune. This age is very dangerous because society is being managed by the demons and rakshasas. So watch out. I'm a fan of fresh air, but I feel the cold air, so maybe it's, instead of freezing everybody, we'll close the window again. Tat tavasanam dvija gavam parameshtyam. Jagatpate Bhavaya Shreyase Bhutyai Kshemaya Vijayaya Cha. O Lord Brahma, your position within this universe is certainly most auspicious for everyone, especially the cows and brahmanas. Brahminical culture and the protection of cows can be increasingly glorified, and thus all kinds of material happiness, opulence, and good fortune will automatically increase. But unfortunately, if Aranyakashipu occupies your seat, everything will be lost. So many nice points here. Very nice. In the second line, Parameshtyam Jagatpate. Parameshtyam means supreme. And Jagatpate, master of the whole universe. It's similar to the previous verse where Lord Brahma is being addressed as Tribhuvaneshwara, Lord of the three worlds. So usually, Lord of the three worlds is attributed to Vishnu. In this case, this is Lord Brahma, not Lord Vishnu. But Lord Brahma is a very dear representative of Lord Vishnu. And therefore, on behalf of Lord Vishnu, he's Tribhuvaneshwara, or Parameshtyam Jagatpate. He's doing so on behalf of, or everyone who has such power as Brahma has, as power, very powerful, he derives his power from some source. And there's one source. That's the absolute truth. Just a couple of scriptural references to support what I just said. Let us recite together the first verse of Sri Brahma Samhita. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. So that first line, Ishvara Parama Krishna. And then later, specifically, Govinda. So, Krishna is the Parama Ishvara. Oh, there are many Ishvaras, and there's one Parama Ishvara. Or here, Parameshtyam, the supreme amongst the controllers of the three worlds. So Brahma is on his behalf, but he derives his power. It's one of the, from Krishna or Govinda. There's 11 verses in the 62 verses of Brahma Samhita that detail this fact. It's stated in the first verse and then it's expanded in, you know, 1/6 of the Brahma Samhita verses. So it's clear by repetition. Each person, including Lord Brahma, Lord Brahma is speaking about Lord Brahma, the post of Lord Brahma. He derives his power. So he derives his power from the Supreme. The demigods are honoring him. There's a connection because Hiranyakashipu, check it out. Hiranyakashipu wants the post of Brahma. And he's an asura. So he doesn't look at Lord Brahma as deriving his power from Vishnu or Krishna, he's like, he's it. And he wants to be it. He wants to be God. Yes? That's the calculation of Hiranyakashipu. And how does he want to get there? It's the demigod described in the previous verses. He's going to do this, that, and the other thing. He's going to do his tapa. He's going to do his sacrifices. He's going to do these high-grade activities. Why? He wants that position. And he's calculating, well, Lord Brahma got his position by doing the same thing, so I'm going to do the same things. I'm going to bump him off and take his position. Or if I can't bump him off, then I'll just, you know, when there's another post of Lord Brahma, another lifetime of Lord Brahma, another creation. He was like really determined. He had a very clear goal. He didn't just want to, you know, become a gold medalist in the Olympics, or, you know, different goals that people had, become a big rock star, or become, you know, the elected something. He wanted to be God. He wasn't a small-time guy, and he was powerful, like fire coming out of his head, and the whole universe heated up, and he kept going. He was very determined, very powerful. Demigods were afraid. Now, just some appreciation, sharing some appreciation from about Jiva Goswami and his composition of the Sandarbhas, the sidebar, but it connects to this. The devotee, a Vaishnava, appreciates the Supreme Lord. So one of the appellations or terms for the Supreme Lord is Bhagavan. And in Jiva Goswami's Sandarbhas, starting with the Tattva Sandarbha and continuing, in fact, the whole six Sandarbhas are called Bhagavat Sandarbha. It's more conventionally, it's the six, or Shat Sandarbhas. But the formal title is Bhagavat Sandarbha. Because why? Because it's about Bhagavan. And it's a commentary on the Bhagavatam, because Bhagavatam is Bhagavan, or Bhagavat Sandarbha. Bhagavat Purana. So who is, there are different definitions of Bhagavan. One of them is given in Vishnu Purana by Parashara Muni, the father of Vyasadeva, and he says Bhagavan has six opulences in full, and that's Bhagavan. If you don't have six opulences in full, not acquire them, but have them. Hiranyakashipu doesn't acknowledge Bhagavan. But then there's another definition that Jiva Goswami develops in the Sandarbhas, which is he's a person who has all opulences. Or all potencies, excuse me, specifically. Shaktis. Nija Sarva Shaktis, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. Because Lord Chaitanya's teachings are the same as the Bhagavatam's teachings, or derived from the Bhagavatam, you can say, but they're completely consistent, they're completely harmonious and resonant and high fidelity comparison between the two. They are the same. So Bhagavan is a person who has all potencies. In fact, Jiva Goswami states, it's really nice, and then develops it, without accepting that the Absolute has all potencies, inconceivable potencies, there's no question of understanding God. You reach a wrong conclusion about what God is. So if you say he has no potencies, which is what impersonalists say, then he's something less than everything. He must have all potencies, I mean, by logic. And he does. And so with that assertion, then he goes forward and establishes in Bhagavat Sandarbha, that's God, that's Bhagavan. And that Bhagavan invests potencies in persons that serve him. And those potencies, going now referring directly to this verse, there's different potencies. One of them is vibhutis. So those of you that are familiar with Bhagavad Gita chapter 10, Opulences of the Absolute is the English title. Prabhupada has translated it. Opulences of the Absolute. But the Sanskrit is Vibhuti Yoga. Vibhuti Yoga. So what does Vibhuti mean? You'll find that term, I'm just now expanding on the meaning that's in text 13, this morning's verse. Bhutyai, right here, the third line. Bhutyai, or Vibhuti. The prefix vi means very, very opulent. So Vibhuti. It's found in Canto 1, Chapter 3. In that section of Chapter 3, it's a response. It's Sutta Goswami's response to one of the six questions of Shonaka and the sages to him. So it's like it's an essential message of the Bhagavatam. Those first three chapters is the whole Bhagavatam in a nutshell. So one of the six questions is, please describe those features of the Lord and forms of the Lord as they appear in this world. So the beginning of chapter 3, canto 1, is the Purusha avatars. Those are forms of the Lord that appear in this world. That's one of the categories. And then via, or through the agency of those Purusha avatars means Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, Shiradakshay Vishnu, Purusha avatars. Then appear other avatars. They're the agencies or the doorway through which those avatars appear. And some Leela avatars are described. And during that, in that section, Sutta says, of all the avatars, not only Leela, all the avatars, one is the source of them all. Krishna is to Bhagavan Swayam. And then you keep reading, and he describes vibhutis, because vibhutis are also a form of appearances of the Lord in this world. Same as chapter 10, Bhagavad Gita. You with me? Vibhuti Yoga. So before listing those vibhutis, it's a response to Arjuna's question of Krishna. After Krishna discloses that he's the absolute truth, he's the source of everything, spiritual, material, he discloses it. And Arjuna goes, wow, you're the absolute truth. Yeah, I thought you were my friend, but you're not just my friend, you're the absolute truth, the source of everything. So can you please describe the ways in which I can always think of you? So one of the ways, not the only way, is to see things of this world in relation to their source, how you can always think of Krishna. And then so he describes his opulences, his vibhutis. Now who becomes decorated by vibhutis? This verse is saying those who are under the protection of the Supreme Lord. Now in that list, there's sharks, and there's trees, and there's mountains, and there's rivers, and there are those things of this world. So those you read in Nectar Devotion, and we respect these various manifestations of the Supreme Lord. We don't worship them as the Supreme Lord. They're bearing the vibhutis. Now back to this verse. The demigods are saying, O Brahma, master of the three worlds, exactly the servant of the master of the three worlds, but therefore master of the three worlds on behalf of he who is the master of the three worlds. This universe, your position within this universe is certainly most auspicious for everyone especially these two, the brahmanas and the cows. Now, those of you that are a little familiar with Canto 1, Srimad Bhagavatam, very strong emphasis, repeated emphasis, is placed upon these same two, brahmanas, or brahminical culture, and cows. When brahminical culture is broken, Vedic culture is broken. Kali Yuga. How to restore Vedic culture? Answer: reestablish brahminical culture and protect it. Question: what was Prabhupada's strategy for Kali Yuga? Answer: restore brahminical culture. And how do you restore brahminical culture in Kali Yuga? You create Vaishnavas. Just had this little exchange with Banu Swami. Some of you may know Banu Swami. He's like a fantastic scholarly personality. And we were discussing email exchange, the role of Upanayana. Those of you from America, you don't know this, but those from India, you know. Upanayana is something that a boy, when he becomes 12 or 13, according to tradition, the priest, maybe family priest, or if it's a sampradaya priest, he'll give his sacred thread. And with the sacred thread, it's Gayatri Mantra, at least, you know, the first of our Gayatri Mantras, Brahma Gayatri Mantra, because then he can enter into the study of the Vedas. That was what the tradition was. So Banu Swami's explanation to me was, as far as I understand, Bhakti Siddhanta, it was a strategy, he gave this how to take Kali Yuga personalities, Kalo Shudra Sambhavan. In this age of Kali, everyone is born Shudra. Why? Because brahminical culture is neglected. That is to say, for brahminical culture to continue, there must be sangskaras. What's sangskaras? It's procedures that those who are twice born, just like in this verse, dvija, twice born, dvija gavam, twice born, especially brahmanas, because twice born are brahmanas, kshatriyas, and vaishyas, but specifically brahmanas, because without brahmanas, you're not going to have proper kshatriyas or vaishyas. Brahminical culture is essential. So therefore, dvija means and indicates brahmanas. So without garb, I had this interesting discussion one time with some South Indian brahmanas, college students. And they were not like challenging, they were asking, you know, a little disturbed, to say, you know, how is it that in an ISKCON you give brahminical initiation to people that are, you know, they have no culture, they have no Vedic culture. They're brought up with no Vedic culture. You give them brahminical initiation. Isn't that a violation of standards? So we had this little discussion about those who are born brahmanas or in brahmana families, they're not appropriately to be considered brahmanas because, listen carefully, any brahmana will know that without observing sangskaras, you're not a brahmana. What about the very first of sangskaras, the Garbhadhan sangskara? Who observes that? He said, oh, now I understand. I was like, it was really nice to have somebody hear that and understand it. Very refreshing. Oh, now I understand. Yes, it's true. People don't observe Garbhadhan Sangskara, and therefore, those born in a family that doesn't observe the sanskaras isn't qualified to be considered a brahmana. You follow the logic? So what to do when you need brahminical culture, but people don't follow sanskaras? What to do? Therefore, this second model or alternative model, equally Vedic model of Panchatantrika system, where persons are engaged in chanting of the holy name, and you can chant the holy name, you know, Maha Mantra. Anyone can chant the holy name, Maha Mantra. Listen carefully. It's like a fundamental part of why we do what we do. Anyone can chant the Maha Mantra. And if you chant the Maha Mantra, something very wonderful happens. What happens? You become purified. Jeto, Darpana, Marjanam, etc. All the sinful reactions are extinguished even by one chanting of the holy name and so forth and so on. One becomes qualified for what? For receiving Gayatri Mantra, for becoming a brahmana. So it was a strategy. I mean, scripturally based, but a strategy so the world could appreciate the Panchatantrika system, which was meant for this age, specifically to, using Prabhupada's language, he kept it really simple. Create first-class men. You've heard that before? Prabhupada said over and over, I wish to establish first-class men. What's a first-class man? Brahminical culture is first-class man. So, my dear devotees, men and ladies, we're to become first class. But I'm not qualified. Become qualified, that's the mandate. And how? Well, you know, the holy name and descending mercy. Really? So it's not just a, you know, check the box. It's develop the qualities of a Vaishnava. Because within a Vaishnava, the qualities of a brahmana are there. Oh. So you've heard this example of there's the staircase method and there's the elevator method. You've heard that metaphor before. And ours is the elevator method. So think of a really tall building. In Chicago is the Sears. Now they have another name for it. So let's see, the Empire State Building. Prabhupada would use that example. If you want to go to the top floor, you have two opportunities. Take the elevator or walk up the stairs. If you walk up the stairs, you might have a heart attack before you reach the top, and it's probably the end of the day. And they're going to lock the doors. You have to spend a night at the top floor. There's a lot of floors. And even the elevator, there's like elevators that go up to this floor, and it's really fast. And then you have to go to another set of elevators to go to another, and then another set of elevators to go to the top. You're dizzy by the time you get there. And then you walk out, and you're on the top floor. So that's us. We just like press the button and go top floor and devotional service. And we're not qualified. But the process of bhakti is very merciful. And we're being allowed to engage in devotional service even when we're not qualified. And so, my dear devotees, let us represent what it means to be a Vaishnava, like become a first-class human being. Develop the qualities in service to our founder Acharya and the previous Acharyas, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to give to the world the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, which requires brahminical culture. So now, back to the verse. Brahma is the upholder of brahminical culture. That's what it's saying. And the protection of cows. Question. When we make offerings of food, bhoga, to Krishna. Many of you have done this in your homes, or, of course, the brahmanas do here in the temple. We have three sets of prayers: Guru, Garanga, and Krishna. So the Guru is to our spiritual master and our founder, Acharya. To Garanga, Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. And to Krishna, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. That's Krishna. He holds the brahmanas very dear to him. The brahmanas are very dear to him. When Sudama came to Dwarka, immediately Krishna got down from the throne and worshipped his friend because he's a brahmana. Krishna protects the brahmanas. Krishna loves the brahmanas. Krishna holds the brahmanas more dear to him than himself, he says in the Bhagavatam. So Krishna is in that position, and therefore the representative of Krishna, Lord Brahma, hold that position also. Another quiz question. There are five categories, first canto Bhagavatam question, five categories of living entities that are to be awarded or afforded special consideration and protection. So two of them are brahmanas and cows. Another one? Women. Another one? Huh? There's five voices. Children. Elderly. So they're all important. This is Mother's Day. So even if you're not mothers, the teaching is to regard other than one's wife as mother. So we honor all of you today. And according to Vedic culture, women are to be honored and valued, therefore protected. Likewise, children and likewise elderly, each affording special merit and value to the welfare of society, but especially amongst the five, these two, brahmanas and cows. So what's the function of a brahmana? Specified here in the second paragraph is, it says Kaitaba and Madhu, they attacked Brahma. They weren't trying to kill Brahma, but they wanted the Vedas, the coveted Vedas. So they stole the Vedas from Brahma. So Lord Vishnu came and killed them, gave the Vedas back to Brahma. Because the Vedas are very important. And the brahmanas give the Vedas. Lord Brahma was giving the Vedas, and he gives the Vedas to qualified people, the brahmanas, first-class men, or Vaishnavas. Therefore, Prabhupada would put these two together quite often, brahmanas and Vaishnavas. But a real Vaishnava, according to Bhaktisiddhanta's teaching, means a Vaishnava, not just by birth or perform the rituals, but the most elevated position of a brahmana, he evolves to the point of becoming a Vaishnava. That's also mentioned here in this purport. So we have like a big service to do to become qualified Vaishnavas and to become first-class men, and Krishna will protect us. And that protection comes, and the special benediction comes, described in the third line. Bhavaya Shreyase Bhutyai. Then the last line, Shemaya Vijayaya Cha. So if you were Vishnu and you wanted what Vishnu wanted, that is, the purpose of creation is to provide living entities the opportunity for experience the fullness of happiness. Fullness of happiness. That's spiritual happiness, by the way, is the fullness of happiness. Then how do you create spiritual well-being for living entities that have corrupt desires, like separate from the Supreme Lord desires? What would you do if you were Lord Vishnu? Well, here's what he does. He provides, as we find in chapter 3, Bhagavad Gita, he sends forth generations of men and demigods, and with them, sacrifice. So the act of sacrifice, or to render things of this world sacred by offering to the Supreme. So you have to have people that can teach how to do that and assist to do that. That's the brahmanas. And one who observes and promotes brahminical culture will get that benefit. And here's the benefit. Bhavaya means improvement in these two things, Shreyase and Bhutyai. Shreyase, who knows the meaning of Shreyas? Shreyas, self-realization. There's these, for a young Western fellow hearing Prabhupada say this so many times, it's nice to learn Sanskrit from your spiritual master. Shreyas and Prayas, there, Prabhupada would say. There are these two terms, Shreyas and Prayas. Prayas means short-term, Shreyas means long-term benefit. Prayas is like a child, play, have fun, enjoy. And then Shreyas is you defer that short-term for something long-term. You go to school, you don't play. That's an example that he would give. For what? Some longer-term benefit. So what's the Shreya Uttama? Jigyasu Shreya Uttama. That's self-realization, God-realization, going back to Godhead. Therefore, in the purport, Prabhupada refers to this word Shreyas, or Shreyase, as going back to Godhead. Or in the word for word, it's spiritual benefit, ultimate happiness. That's spiritual well-being. So with brahminical culture, this is now a Vaishnava Brahmana, one gets spiritual benefit, but one also gets this other one. Bhutyai, or vibhuti, or one becomes, one may, if Krishna so desires, become awarded with some opulence from him. And it's not a material opulence, it's a spiritual opulence. When devotees have that situation of opulence, it's spiritual, not material. I'll say it again. It's spiritual. It's not material. If some facility comes to you or to us here in the Chicago Temple or anywhere in ISKCON, just like TOVP is going to be coming to speak about, the representatives of the Temple of Vedic Planetarium. I mean, my goodness, that's a major opulence. How did it manifest? Prabhupada desired it. Why did he desire it? Bhaktivinoda Thakur desired it. Lord Chaitanya desired it. The Ananta Samhita describes it, and now we're getting an opportunity to help manifest it. And it's an opulence, but it's not a material opulence, it's a spiritual opulence. That's how to properly see it. Or, aside from that one, anyone. Just like, having books in the storage room, the book room. That's an opulence. We can count how many books and calculate how many dollars worth of books we have. That's our treasury. But it's a spiritual opulence for sure. Why? Because it can give bhakti. We just have to be the instrument and carry the thing out and put it in people's hand and they take it. It creates good fortune in their life. Or we have, Mridangan cartels. That's an opulence. There was a time when we didn't have Mridangan cartels. Now we have them. It's an opulence, and you use the opulence. It creates good fortune, spiritual good fortune. And it can change the unfortunate circumstances of people's lives. They still may have to address to some degree the misfortune. Most likely they will to some degree, but it can completely revolutionize. Janata Agha Viplava. That's the Sankirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the message of the Bhagavatam and all of this. It's a great opulence. That's a, you know, it's a spiritual opulence. It's directly. Golokera, Premadana, Harinama, Sankirtan has directly come from the spiritual world. And we're given this privilege of giving it to others. Wow. We're unqualified. We're given the opportunity to give it to the world. So, and that way we become qualified. Just by this descending mercy. We just have to say yes instead of no or maybe. I'll think about it. And it's very practical. By practical, you know, it increases the, as Prabhupada is saying in the purport, the spiritual and material good fortune. That's this kshemaya. Who knows what kshema means? Kshema. It's one of the principles of surrender, that Krishna is my protector. Yoga kshema vaham yaham. Krishna preserves what we have. He maintains. So, kshemaya, for the maintenance and good fortune. It brings good fortune, exactly as what Bhaktisiddhanta said to Srila Prabhupada. Go to the West, and by so doing, it will be good for you and good for them too. So we go on Sankirtan. It's good for them and good for us too. It's good for everyone. It's a win-win. Spiritual win-win. Because it brings good fortune to us. You know, all of our complicated minds and disturbances and stuff. Just go on Sankirtan. And good fortune will come to you and good fortune will come to them. It's just to be the agent or the instrument. Even we're dull. Or unfit. We become qualified by, in part, not only, but in part, by taking up that prescribed medicine that's good for us and good for them. Good fortune comes into the world. So now these three protect the brahmanas and protect the cows. We'll speak some during the Sunday program. You know, the public program about cows on Mother's Day. So I'll not now speak so much about cows, but the brahmanas and the cows, most important, and then comes this good fortune, specifically. Spiritual well-being, God-realization, self-realization, going back to Godhead, and vibhutis, opulences, spiritual opulences, decorating the lives of those who are involved in protection of Brahminical culture, upholding a Brahminical culture. We can be instruments of that, assist in that big mission that Prabhupada wanted, that Bhagavatam wants and Prabhupada therefore wanted. And then the kshemaya, good fortune, in this age that's Manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya yupadruta. Very unfortunate circumstance. And we're born in it, and like all around us is this, it's the age of Kali. And it's very difficult. But good fortune can come, clear the obstacles just by receiving this wonderful thing. Protection of cows and brahmanas. Ultimately, it means taking shelter of Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, by becoming qualified Vaishnavas. And then these wonderful things will come. But, now the last paragraph. There, the demigods are speaking to Lord Brahma. This fellow, Hiranyakashipu, he wants to bump you off. Not, it's not just like watch your backside. It's, you know, protect all of us, the demigods. stop this fellow. Because if it's not during this universe, it's the next universe. He's like really determined. Look how powerful he is. Very determined. And then there's, you know, the little Hiranyakashipus that Prabhupada is warning us about in our modern times. Persons that check Brahminical culture and cow protection. It's very sad. Very dangerous. So we should know what our mandate is, our mission is. Our founder, Acharya, has made it very clear. Become qualified Vaishnavas. And part of that qualified Vaishnava duty is to become qualified Vaishnavas, Vaishnavas that have qualities of a Vaishnava. And that means, you know, among other things, proper achar along with prachar, proper character and conduct, etiquette. You know, sadachar means like Vaishnava etiquette. We should conduct ourselves with one another and those outside and so forth and so on. We should know what it is, what is proper etiquette, and live accordingly. Be for the pleasure of Krishna. Act that way instead of, you know, our conditioned ways. And that's a whole, not just a whole other class, it's a whole seminar on Vaishnava etiquette. But why? Not just, you know, do the do's and avoid the don'ts. It's please Krishna, become qualified to be a devotee. When you step out of the elevator and you're on the top floor, we have to set example for society. Because if we don't set example for society, who's going to set example for society? It's part of our service. Maybe we didn't sign up for that when we started practicing Krishna consciousness. Oh, I'm supposed to set an example for the whole of society. I don't know if I'm ready for that. But that's what we signed up for. Be exemplary. And what's the core and support of that is the holy name. And then from the holy name, the awakening of the desire to serve Krishna, and from the awakening of the desire to serve Krishna, to please Krishna, to have Krishna smile when we're standing before him. That is, he's pleased. He says directly in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 12, he's pleased when he sees these qualities in his devotees. So the devotees want those qualities. Where do you get those qualities? From Krishna. He'll gladly decorate. If you want to please him, if you want something else, well, that's another question. But if you want to please him, he will decorate. So we strive for that. We become qualified Vaishnavas. And when there's the Hiranyakashipus, or the little ones and the big ones, we depend upon the Supreme Lord. In this case, the demigods are calling to Lord Brahma. Now, later in this whole section, when after Hiranyakashipu is killed, because the petition goes to the Supreme Lord by Lord Brahma on behalf of the demigods, please take care of this fellow. He's going to ruin everything. And Prahlad does the funeral for his father, and Prahlad becomes, as a little boy, he's installed in the throne. And during that installation, the Supreme Lord has a little side conversation with Lord Brahma. He said, don't do this again. Don't give these benedictions to Hiranyakashipu and people like that. Don't do it again. You made a mistake. Don't do it again. So what's our position in relation to the tiny Hiranyakashipus? Well, we follow the Bhagavad Dharma method. We don't have the qualification to do much of anything other than propagate and be examples of Vaishnavas with the faith that there's a potency in that, and this auspiciousness is created. So we support Brahminical culture and cow protection. Those two, very important. So we're not Lord Brahma, we can't, do what Brahma can do. We can do these two things according to our capacity and collectively together as a society of Vaishnavas. That's our order, to change the tide of the age of Kali. And foremost of all is our propagating of the holy name, Yuga Dharma. We want to do that. And along with that, book distribution. So just a little, I'll end with this. I don't know how I found the time to do this, but I think it was Saturday morning. I sent out to our North American leadership. We have in August 18th, 19th, and 20th, here in Chicago, our North American GBC will be coming and conducting discussions on whatever we need to discuss. But I volunteered to establish topics that our GBC members will speak here, and then record it on this nice facility, live broadcast, and then upload it somewhere. So I'm going to speak on the evening before we all convene on one of the messages I just mentioned, which is Vaishnava etiquette, the ornament of the leaders and the followers. That's my topic. And Vaisheshika Prabhu is going to give a morning class on the importance of Harinam and book distribution, not book distribution as opposed to Harinam, or Harinam as opposed to book distribution, but marrying the two, or how, because he's writing a book. Maybe some of you know. He's writing a book on the history of book distribution in ISKCON during Prabhupada's time. Because one of the notions or conceptions that somehow has evolved or been propagated or whatever is that Harinam took a back seat because some leaders put Harinam in the back seat and put book distribution in the front seat, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we have to put Harinam back in the front seat. There's a notion out there that's like that. So there's a whole chapter he shared with me that's correcting that. Because I requested at our meeting last year here in Chicago amongst our leaders, I would like to see that Harinam gets its position like book distribution has its position. You're the Vaisheshika Prabhu is the book distribution minister. Should we have a Harinam minister and encourage Harinam like we encourage book distribution? Right, Himanshu? I heard this from Himanshu and a couple of others. So Vaisheshika Prabhu volunteered, I would like to marry the two. And I'd like to explain why. So he's going to explain why on one of the mornings. Stay tuned. Because by then his book will have been finished. Maybe he'll make available the chapter. Maybe he won't also. Because I don't know how long it's going to take for it to get published. And he wants to sell copies, not just circulate digital copies of chapters. But let's see how he handles it. It's going to be... Krishna consciousness is really fun. I mean, another class is going to be Shivaram Maharaj in Budapest with a live broadcast via Skype, because they don't have good internet connection at the farm, on Varnashram, the importance of Varnashram, you know, which is connected to this morning's verse. And he's got a lot to say about that topic. Better have your seatbelt fastened and ready for a blast off. He's like really energized about this topic. And it's going to be a topic not only by his inspiration but others, that finally that this wonderful topic that has not been adequately like sorted out it's going to be elevated to a very important topic that the GBC, and we'll invite others to also participate in the discussion of how to do what Prabhupada said to do. Stay tuned. It's not an easy question to answer. It's an important question. So now, back to just summarize the verse. This Brahminical culture and cow protection are very important. Brahma, you're the maintainer of these, and because of that, there's good fortune, there's spiritual well-being, and the necessities of life for the population of the world is being supplied. And this fellow that wants to reverse the order of the natural order of things, because that's what the previous verse said, that's what he wants to do. Just flip it over. You know, instead of heads, it's tails. No Brahminical culture, no cow protection. It's going to be bad. Kali Yuga. What do we do? Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching us what to do. We take shelter of Bhagavatam and its message and the activities prescribed, guided by our founder Acharya and previous Acharyas. We're headed in the right direction. We're doing what we can do by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. With that condition, servants of the Lord. Any comments or questions? Yes, Himanshu, then Madhumangal. Who's got the mic?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Would you please be able to elaborate on what are the qualifications for Brahminical initiation in ISKCON?
Oh, that's a very small topic. It's a sadhachara. It's a whole course. Elaborate on. I suggest that we receive curriculums, they're plural, on sadhachar. I'll speak with Nityananda Pran about this. And someone, either he or someone comes and conducts a seminar on it. Like it's multiple parts. Multiple.
There's a curriculum by Bhakti Charu Maharaj.
Yeah.
That my husband is planning to get here and do it with the devotees here.
Okay.
Soon.
I'll have a conversation with him, because just yesterday, I'm doing a little research on a particular etiquette topic. I'll share with you what the etiquette topic is, because I'd like to create a little something. Little statement. It's like a little piece of the pie of Vaishnava etiquette. When two senior personalities have a different view, and those senior personalities, they have persons who look up to them, their followers, how are the followers to process that? What are they to do? What's the etiquette? And then the other is, those who are in the senior position, when they have differences of view, how are they to behave in relation to one another, particularly with respect to followers? What's the etiquette? I wrote to like 15 people to say, do you have something written on this already, rather than reinvent the wheel? And one of my god brothers sent me his seminar notes taken from Bhakti Chumaraj's Sadachar, Vaishnava etiquette course, but you know, styled according to his, you know, preferences or whatever. So I'll share that with Nityananda Prabhu. So I would recommend getting several, because one of the persons I wrote to was Atul Krishna. Maybe some of you know who he is. He's in Mayapur. He is one of the principal persons involved in this disciple course creation, which if you're not initiated, one day you'll have to take. Or if you don't have second initiation, you'll have to take, because it's like an ISKCON law that you'll have to take it. And he was very instrumental in creating the curriculum, as was Anuttama Prabhu and, you know, like eight others. Yadunandan Swami at the Bhaktivedanta College. I wrote to him also. So, you know, Atul Krishna said, we already have curriculum. We're creating another curriculum. We're like taking a refreshed look at it. So, again, when I speak to Nityananda Prabhu, what do they have? So it's something that he feels, something that I learned from Bhurijan Prabhu, who I look up to. And since we went to college together, I was looking up to him then and still am. He taught me something. He taught me a number of somethings. But one of them is, just as different managers have different styles of management, different teachers have different styles of teaching. And it's okay to have different management styles and different teaching styles. There's diversity. It's natural. And what's essential is the message is presented. So I will encourage Nityananda Prabhu, if he's going to be the teacher, to look at different what's out there and according to his preferences, as Bir Krishna Maharaj did. He was the GBC who sent me. And he and Bhakti Chumaraj are very close friends. But he took Bhakti Chumaraj's and revised it a bit for his approach or style. So. Okay, Himanshu went away. Yes.
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for the class.
I like a rule. Please do not, not just you, please do not begin a question with that one, because it happens. Like every speaker's got to say, oh, thank you very much for the class. Going into the future, please delete that little phrase.
You explained that although we are unqualified because of the descending mercy, we are
because
of the descending mercy,
okay,
we are being put on a higher platform.
Yes.
To execute the devotional service and yes, become a Vaishnava. Just coming from India, I have seen few Brahmanas, not in ISKCON, but outside, that from time to time, we see that because of lack of support to them, they try to go to other professions, are always like searching after their livelihood, so they cannot maintain their Brahminical duties. And even in ISKCON also, we have seen from time to time some...
Not only from time to time.
So I just wanted to ask, like, is there any plan to support those who are taking up these Brahminical duties, or maybe in the future, so that they don't have to resort to finding their livelihood outside?
There's discussion, not exactly a plan. And, you know, in kind of a ad hoc piecemeal method, something is happening here and there with this situation, that situation. That's my response. There's not a plan. There's discussion and piecemeal here and there. Charinishta, you have something? You had your hand up? No. Anyone? Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki.